all my toys and hide them in this basket, but it's always the same basket, and it's always the same place, and then they act so surprised when I find them, but I'm like, hello, that's where you put it last time. Humans are the worst at hide-and-go-seek.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King, and we are here making financial sense with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Tom. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to say it's sunny and nice out there, but it's really kind of gloomy.
Yeah, it's not. It's a November day, no question about it. So before you head out to do whatever you're going to do outdoors today, give us a call here this morning with your financial question, 715-845-2155. Obviously, the stock market is still revving on the red line, maybe. Is that Foreigner that had a song called Revving on the Red Line?
You know, I think actually you're right.
I think it is.
There's a sign of that if you know that song.
It's a sign of age, no question about
it. And you had it on vinyl, didn't you?
I did, but are we getting to a point where the market is overheating to a point where you have to start thinking about taking something off the table here and moving it elsewhere because there is a correction coming? Some are saying that. What do you think?
Well, you know, it appears as though that we're definitely starting to bump into some areas where the market's going to have some correction. Now, when I say that, I got to preface a whole bunch of different things in the middle of here because a lot of conversation over the course of this past week where people saying, are we going to have a big crash in like 2008? And I'm like, well, probably not. You know, at some point in time in our lives, can we see the stock market go down 1,000 points? Well, sure, because we're, you know, keep getting higher as far as the numbers go. So 1,000 points doesn't mean as much as it did before. But we have to take a look at the overall trend of where the economy is going. And so let's chat about that first, if we will. You know, the overall trend of the economy is that the economy continues to keep moving forward and continues to surprise a bit that we're doing better than what a lot of people think. So as the economy continues to keep moving forward, we see, you know, last week we saw the ISM numbers, which is a forward-looking measurement, you know, stronger than expected. We see jobs, and nobody's really sure how it happened. We had better-than-expected jobs that popped out this past time. Unemployment's a little funky on that number just simply because of the things that happened with the government shutdown, et cetera, et cetera. But largely, the economy continues to keep plugging and moving forward. We saw the GDP unexpectedly higher than we expected before. So all this stuff keeps moving forward. So the economy is doing okay. Again, I'm not saying good or great, but the economy continues to keep moving forward. Profitability in corporations continues to keep getting a bit larger and keep growing. We see that new orders, R&D, building as far as commercial building, all larger, all points of expansion. So if you're asking me, Tom, do I think the economy is going to do worse and everything's going to fall apart? The answer is no. I don't foresee that. I don't see it. Most of the economists that I read and I like their information, they don't see it at this particular point in time. So now we come back to...
You don't see a full-blown bear market coming here?
No. I mean, even the bears don't see a bear market coming, and a lot of them that are out there now. So asking the question, will the stock market come down? Well, it always goes up and down. We all know this. We saw Thursday the marketplace came back, you know, some 167 points and came up again yesterday. But I think we're starting to hit that point in time where we start seeing some corrections and things starting to bump up and down. I had said it before, and this is one of the things that Warren Buffett says too. He probably says it more eloquently than me, but here it is. It's when a small investor starts jumping into the market because they're getting excited to get in. That's usually about the time we start seeing the market come back down again. And so with that then, if we take a look at this, we're starting to see record amounts of money starting to pour into the marketplace. You take a look at a lot of the sell programs and what's called the buy puts, putting calls, buying onto the marketplace, whether it's going to go up or down. Most of them are planning that the market's going to come down and have a correction. Well, what does a correction mean? Well, we might come down 5%. So if 5% comes down, if we take a look at 5% from the numbers where we are right now, we're looking at the marketplace coming down some 800 points. We did that by accident here a couple of months ago, and it just bopped down and came back again. So could we see that happen? I think the volatility picks up over the course of these next few weeks in the stock market as far as up and down, jumping around, as a result of so many people thinking that the stock market is too high. Does that make sense? No real underlying fundamental reason that the economy is going down. But I think that jumping around in the marketplace might trigger enough things then that we have a little bit of a correction coming up, the market comes back down. So remember, what happens, folks, is that if we pick a stock market, I'm just going to pick a number, and I don't know. I could actually look, but we won't. If the stock market is at 15,750 today, for example, if we are there, the fundamentals of that individual stock, the individual marketplace, have to be able to hold that up. So if we look at this, and we're actually at 15,761, but if we look at it then, the profit of the corporations, the profit of the marketplace have to be able to match that stock. Otherwise, a couple things happen. The stock either has to come down to the area where it's supposed to be, or the overall economy has to rise to where that stock or the index is as far as the price goes. And at this particular point in time, we're actually seeing both happen. We're seeing the profitability of corporations going up. We're seeing the expansion of the government going up. And, of course, we're seeing some euphoria in the stock market running up as well. But all kinds of bounces around inside of an equilibrium area. But long term, I think we're just going well inside the economy. We're doing okay. Stock market bouncing around? Yeah, I think we're going to see it, especially over the next few weeks.
All right, well, let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Matt.
Hey, Matt, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Matt.
Hey, given everything that's going on with the market right now, would now be a good time, if you're talking about an IRA, 401k, to scale back on the risk factor, given the market conditions and the probability of things leveling or tapering back down a little bit?
You know, Matt, you have a really good question here, and let me answer it in a compliant way. You know, here's the thing. Matt, not knowing about what you're doing inside of your portfolio and how much risk you have or not risk, but let's say we just simply have risk of X. And as a result, risk of X, if we take a look out a year and a half or 2 years from now, should we change our risk because we think the economy is falling apart? The answer would be no. If you accept the answer of risk right now, there isn't anything that's going to make the market worse or riskier because, again, we're still having economic expansion or having economic growth. Future looks pretty good. We're doing all right. The profits of corporations are doing okay. So I wouldn't run out and change anything with the risk amount of X that you've chosen simply because there's nothing that's going to change what will happen in a year, year and a half. Everything looks pretty good from that standpoint. Now, the other side of that is, do we change the risk of X just because we think the stock market price is too high? And the answer to that would be, well, you know, let's think about this for a second. If stuff is too high, do you get out of it, or do you just simply keep plugging in and wait for it to go down and buy more on sale? Well, if we try to time the market, that only constitutes 2% of all of our rate of return. That means, Matt, you have to be right in your decision when you buy, when you get out, and you also have to be right when you get back in, and the probability is you'll get that wrong. The better thing to do inside of 401ks, for example, or IRAs that you're putting in money in regularly, is to just stay with the program and keep putting the money in and just simply ask, is X too much risk for me now? Am I nervous? And do I need to reduce that? But I wouldn't make a knee-jerk reaction about the marketplace. Now, that being said, Mac, if you've got some money sitting on the sideline and you're saying, well, I want to get that money invested, I think you've probably got a couple of days here in the next few weeks that you can say, well, you know what? Today's going to be better than yesterday, and I'll save a few shekels. But long-term, you know, year and a half, couple of years out, what you do today is going to be immaterial because you can't. We're going to continue to see expansion in the marketplace and the economy over that period of time. Does that help?
Yeah, like you said, it probably doesn't make sense to move funds now. It may make sense to change where your funds are going in terms of risk percentages within a 401k or an IRA.
You know, this past year we've had a lot of money and a lot of expansion in small cap and mid cap funds, and that small cap and mid caps have really had a lot of money, made a lot of dollars. And one of the things you may want to take a look at and say is, okay, if in the beginning of the year my mid-cap and small-cap allocation were at 20% or 30% of my portfolio, and now I'm at 35%, it may make sense to take a few shekels off the table on that one and reinvest them back something that didn't do as well. Now, largely everything did well throughout the course of the year. I'd probably shy away from bond or bond funds at this point in time because it's a water that's unsettled still at this point in time. But other places to look is the expansion that's happening globally. Globally tends to be doing pretty good right now. And that might be an area that you want to look at and say, huh, if I think the U.S. is over a little bit, do I want to maybe add a little bit international? So those are some of the things that I would consider and I would look at. And as always, if you have any questions, chat with a financial advisor along the way.
Sure. If you talk international, are you talking European or Asian or both?
Both. You know, you actually bring up something that's a pretty good question here, because a lot of times when you see mutual funds that say international, they're everything outside the U.S. I don't like to get continent-specific. I actually prefer to look for, and as well as we use in our practice, global funds. Global simply means the whole world, including the U.S., and the manager has the ability to allocate wherever he needs or whether he or she needs to try to get that best rate of return. So I wouldn't try to go European, for example. I wouldn't just try to go Asian. Try to do something global. The people who are running around the world doing that stuff are smarter than you and I because we're sitting here working our cans off, and they're running around jet-setting, talking to companies around the globe. We don't have that ability, so I'd prefer to just recommend to a person, use a global fund or at least an international fund that's not country or specific to a certain area.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
appreciate
Matt.
It. 715-845-2155. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more here with Merle Kelch back in a moment on WSAU.
A few years ago, I noticed my vision getting blurry. I thought it was part of getting older, but I was wrong. I have a disease called age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in people 55 and older. There are treatments for AMD, but early detection is key to saving your sight. To receive a free AMD packet, call the Foundation Fighting Blindness at 800-585-0516. That's 800-585-0516. You'll be glad you did.
Realtors have expertise in land development and management, retail, industrial, office, and investment properties. They have the experience, knowledge, and savvy to help you achieve your business and investment real estate goals. Realtors also have the power of the National Association of Realtors behind them, working with legislators and regulators to support the key role commercial real estate plays in our national economy. Ask for a professional who understands your commercial business. Ask for a Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Your path to recovery isn't like mine.
You have your own struggles with mental health issues.
Your own challenges with substance use disorders.
You also have your own abilities and strengths.
But when you need a hand,
reach out until you find one.
For information on mental and substance use disorders, including prevention and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
My dad came to live with us last month, and you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Colder than a cadaver waiting on Obamacare. More slippery than any slope Washington leads us down. Able to close schools in a single blow.
Up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's snow. Yes, it's snow. Strange visitor from the heavens falling to the earth with powers far beyond the abilities of plows and shovels. Snow. Another exciting season starts soon. Follow it all winter.
Central Wisconsin's severe weather station. WSAU and WSAU.com.
Or it could be that magical fake snow that falls without a cloud in the sky.
It's a magic how it happens here, isn't it?
Yeah. 715-845-2155. I'm going to call if you have a question for Merle. Give us a call here this morning. It's interesting, the caller before the break asked a question that Mark Hulbert deals with in his column today on MarketWatch about whether or not the market is getting to a point where there will be a correction and what to do in that situation. His suggestion is you don't necessarily have to sell all your stocks if you're worried that a major market decline is imminent. Instead, begin shifting your holdings towards stocks that historically have held their own during such declines.
Sure.
His suggestion is highest quality blue chips.
Yep.
The ones that have little debt, pay a dividend, have a long and consistent history of earnings growth, and have below market price earnings ratios. Are there enough of them out there, and what's the best way of finding the ones that'll fit your needs?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, because I'd actually wrote a note in the middle of here, you know, our last caller, Matt, when he had chatted, he was saying, well, inside of my 401k, what can I do? But largely inside of 401ks, you really can't buy a stock or you can't buy a defensive mutual fund if you want to, because you had that subset of individual investments inside of the 401k. So therein lies the question when people say, should I keep my old 401k? I usually say, well, the investments typically aren't bad. You just don't have all the choices out there. And here's a prime example of that. You know, so if you have old 401ks, you have the ability to do this. If you're inside an existing 401k, you have to stay where you are. Now, a defensive stock might be stocks that are names of foods, goods, services, et cetera, that you use. And no matter what, we're going to use that sort of stuff. And, folks, I'm just throwing some names out there. I'm not recommending you buy these stocks by any means, so please understand that. But, Tom, if we think about things that no matter what happens inside of the world, inside of the economy, what's the product or service you'd use in your home no matter what?
Oh, I don't know. Cans of tuna, macaroni and cheese.
Ketchup, mayonnaise. I mean, so I'm guessing you probably use a little bit of toilet paper. You're not going out and getting the Birch Bark going or anything, or the old Sears catalogs your kids. But in here, you know, those are the defensive types of stocks. They call those defensive stocks, not defense as in military. Defensive stocks as in stuff we're going to use no matter what. And so some people say, well, you know, things are getting a little bit tough, so maybe we'll start picking up and buying a little bit more of a defensive position. And so that's some of the things that we'd have. You know, fuel, for example, gas. We're always going to keep buying gas and fuel oil and all that kind of stuff. And so that's where they call them defensive stocks. And so if you think, well, geez, my mid and small caps, as we were talking with Matt, how the mid and small caps have taken up this year, if you think I've had too much of that or your risk is getting too high under your measurement, again, I'm not making any recommendations at this standpoint, but that might be someplace you look. Also, you can find mutual funds that contain that same type of stuff. I'm only investing inside of defensive types of an area, defensive stocks, and perhaps it's a mutual fund that has a certain amount of hedge in case the market goes down. It has a buffer, for lack of a better term.
All right.
But we have that ability.
All right, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Oh, they were there a moment ago. Give us a call back, and we'll get you right on. 715-845-2155 is the number to call if you have a question for Merle here this morning. Some of the stocks that he talks about in this article, as you mentioned, defensive-type stocks, including companies like Kellogg, Baxter International, which is a drug company, Archer Daniels, Midland, huge grain processor, and much more than that. And as you mentioned, energy companies like First Energy.
Also, you can't forget Altria, or Ultra, I'm sorry.
All right, let's go back to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is John.
Hey, John, you're on with Merle. You're
morning,
on with
John.
Merle. Go ahead.
Well, I have a specific question, and it is, I'm in the Wisconsin retirement system, and I'm also in the variable part of it. Half of it is in the variable. And I'm wondering if this would be a good time to switch out of the variable and go entirely into the fixed, understanding that once you do that, there's no going back to the variable. It's a one-time deal. So I'm wondering what you think about that.
John, let me ask a couple of questions for you. How long do you think you're going to use the retirement system?
How long what?
How long will you use the retirement system? It's a loaded question, by the way.
I've been retired for 14 years.
Okay. I'm guessing you'll probably use it pretty much up to the day you die, maybe even after that. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. When we invest inside of the marketplace, we invest long-term or short-term? Again, loaded question, long-term. And here's the reason I ask those questions for many people who work with the state. And that is that, you know, the beautiful part about the state of Wisconsin retirement system is that it's a fantastic system. Other than getting clobbered by some credit default swaps and having that adjustment years ago, it's really been pretty consistent. So with that, then, if we take a look at it, that variable part or that variable component is one of the things that leads us or keeps that escalation going as the years and the raises, per se. And with it, I think that a person should almost always have a small amount in variable, and I don't know what percentage that you have, but I think the variable component makes perfectly good sense. If we think the stock market is just going to fall apart and crash and disappear, well, you know what? The fixed side of things is going to end up having a certain amount of an issue, too, as it did a few years ago. But the variable component's good. Now, I don't know if you have the ability to have 75% or 25 or whatever the number is, but I would always have a small amount of the variable component inside of that pension, no matter what. But if you're nervous about it, I mean, you can certainly go back to the fixed. But that variable component, I think, long-term, is too good to ignore.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155.
Especially when you have pensions that once you make the choice, you can't change it. I think it's always good to make sure you have a little bit in there.
Why was it set up that way? Why can't you change back and forth?
Well, I believe it was changed really from an investment standpoint. Can you imagine if you have everybody who's within the Wisconsin retirement system deciding at one time, we're going to go variable today. Well, now the investment managers of the pension board has to start taking all that new money that's leaving from the fixed pot, coming into the variable pot. Now they have to go through and find some places to place it or to buy or to put the money. So with that being the case now, they've got a ton of work to do, and then 2 weeks later, somebody says, well, we don't want to do this anymore. Let's sell it all. Now we got to buy a fix. Well, now you got to run around and buy all the fix. So it adds a lot of associated costs in being able to switch back and forth all over the place.
All right, 715-845-2155. We're going to take a break for some news, come back with more. We're talking with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. We'll be right back.
This is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
News now. From AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. The talks between Secretary of State John Kerry, Iran, and other world powers continue today in Geneva. Kerry met with the Iranian foreign minister and the chief of European Union foreign policy on Friday over the subject of Iran's nuclear program. Police in Los Angeles arrested a man with a gun inside LAX's Terminal 3 just a week after a shooting left a TSA officer dead in the same terminal. Authorities were alerted to the suspect late last night by a limo driver. Amid threats from Democrats that all hell will break loose, the Wisconsin Senate has decided not to consider two anti-abortion bills this year. Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says the bills would likely come up again next year. Investigators say a missing 15-year-old girl has been found safe in Chicago. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office says Catherine Stahlbaum was found last night. She appears to be in good condition, and sheriff's officials are now investigating the events leading to her disappearance. An anonymous donor has put a fundraising effort past their goal. That goal was to raise $50,000 to build a special outdoor-themed pediatric family waiting area at Marshfield Clinic called Traden's Cabin. The project was started by Cassie and Travis Kurzweil after losing their son Traden to a rare form of leukemia. An anonymous donor pitched in $17,200 yesterday to put them over their goal. In sports, the Badger basketball team beat St. John's last night 86-75. Five Badgers were in double figures. Marquette won as well, topping Southern 63-56. At the state girls volleyball tournament, Wausau Newman and Auburndale both won their matches. They'll play for titles today. The Badger football team taking on BYU. You can hear that game right here, pregame show at 12:30. The weather today from Newsline 9, mostly cloudy and windy with a chance of a rain or snow shower. High 42, winds up to 20 miles an hour. Tonight, decreasing clouds, colder, low 26. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high 39. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
I'm Elena. I have a master's degree in giving hope to children in Ethiopia.
I'm John. My farm experience helped villagers in the Philippines feed themselves.
I'm Nanaya. I have a degree in making an impact for generations to come.
If you have a degree in agriculture, the environment, or teaching English, you actually have a degree in doing more than you ever thought possible. Peace Corps volunteers can truly make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. With your skills and education, you could help create an irrigation system for a small village in Paraguay, or share new teaching methods to educators in Moldova. The experiences you'll gain in the Peace Corps will stay with you forever. This is your chance to make a real difference, a difference only you can make. Explore how the Peace Corps can fit into your future. Visit peacecorps.gov.
My resume
now includes changing lives.
They are falling in an all-out aerial assault. Be it blower or mower, resistance is futile. The leaves will cover all.
Packers, Eagles, game day coverage begins Sunday at 9, kickoff at noon on the Packers station WSAU.
On game day and every day, news, talk, sports, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Folks, the opinions voiced on this show are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies, and this program is intended, folks, for Wisconsin residents only.
Well, the market made a few more multimillionaires on Thursday with the Twitter IPO. Twitter, the social media site, had its initial public offering and went up 70% in the first day in a huge
pop. Not a bad day.
Yeah. I've been seeing and hearing some mixed reaction to whether or not people believe that Twitter is actually going to be another successful company a la Google, a la Amazon, a la eBay, or will it be something that cannot monetize the situation it finds itself in? I mean, right now, Twitter has never made a dime in profit, and yet it is valued higher than companies like Kellogg and Alcoa and other established companies that actually make profits. Shep Smith on Fox gave the opinion that if Twitter could monetize what it was doing, it would have done it by now. What's your take on Twitter going forward here, and can it hold the stock price that it's got right now, and actually go higher like some of the others have?
Here's my take on this. Do you remember Yahoo Messenger?
Vaguely.
Oh yeah. Do you remember Prodigy? Do you remember MySpace?
Sure.
And where are they?
Well, MySpace is still around, but certainly not as useful and not as huge as it once was.
Given that.
It's been replaced by Facebook.
Exactly. And remember the euphoria that was happening with Facebook. Now, you know, I could just simply speak for myself and that whole bit. You know, Facebook was fun and exciting and that whole bit, and I still look at Facebook pretty much every day. And all my buddies who ride motorcycles together, we all get together on Facebook and say, hey, we all going to go here, you want to go there, that type of stuff. So with that being the case then, what does Twitter do? It's a place to listen to your favorite celebrities and what they're doing on a daily basis?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing is I learn a lot from Twitter. The people I follow post things on Twitter before they were actually posted in other media. So I learn things from reporters on Twitter, most of whom are other journalistic entities, whether they be newspapers, television stations.
I can get an app for that.
Well,
now okay. I'm playing devil's advocate for a particular reason here.
I agree with Shepard Smith. I don't know how they monetize. What they do unless they load it up with ads, and if they do that, it's just going to annoy people.
You take a look at what Facebook has done right now. If you ever go into Facebook, you hit your news link and see what's going on with all of your friends throughout the course of the day, and all of a sudden it pops up as a news link. Here is a next product from XYZ company. You should take a look at it. Click here if you want more information. So popping right into your news link. So my guesstimation would be is at some particular point in time you look to see the news feed from John Savage in your standpoint. You take a look at that news feed, and all of a sudden it pops up and says, you know, buy underwear at XYZ retailer. And I think, yeah, that would become somewhat annoying. Can we, will it work? Can we narrow it down as to what demographic we're going to or what geographical area? I don't know. I think Twitter is interesting. I think it's fun to be able to read some of this information. I don't know if the valuation right now matches its ability at this point in time. Google was different, and I thought Google went way up too fast initially, but then all of a sudden as they started reaching some sort of critical mass momentum, the amount of profits they had from their advertising was just immense, so the stock price had to go up because the underlying numbers were good. Facebook, their value of their stock didn't start going up until they actually figured out how to generate revenue from a mobile standpoint. They got it figured out, so it makes sense. And so you have a company that has an IPO that really doesn't have the bottom line profit at this particular point in time. Sounds a lot like me, like some of the internet stuff. Remember the internet bubble? Oh, we got this great company. What's the profit loss statement? Why does the profit loss statement say nil? Well, because they don't make any profit. Well,
would you buy Twitter at this point, and would you recommend it to your people?
I did not, and I have not. We did not buy any direct Twitter at all. It's one of those things that I want to see some profit numbers. Yeah. What do you have the potential to do first?
Let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to? Oop. Hello.
Hello.
Yep. Go ahead. You're on with Merle.
Hi, Merle. Could you tell me, thinking of putting my home up for sale in spring or summer, and I wanted to find out more about the capital gains consequences in Wisconsin. Am I able to calculate that myself, or would I need a tax attorney?
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. What's your name, ma'am?
Jane.
Jane? Jane, have you lived in a house for two out of the last 5 years?
Yes.
Has it been your primary residence?
Yes.
You have, excuse me, Jane, are you married?
Is it the first house you've ever sold?
No, it's not.
Okay, Jane, are you married?
I'm widowed.
Okay, widowed, okay. Well, I would check with an accountant to see what the rules are with being widowed, because whenever that happened, I don't need to get into that particular part, but right now, the capital gains in a house is not like it used to be. If you've lived in a home for two out of the last 5 years, and the value of the house is less than $500,000, I think it's $550,000, married, it's probably $500,000, or if it's less than $550,000 as you're married, you have the ability to just walk away, no capital gains. You have to pay capital gains on the value over that. And so it used to be you had one home or two times per year once or twice per lifetime. There's all kinds of strange rules. But the rules changed in the sense that you don't have to sell a house to pay capital gains. So as long as you've lived in a house for two out of the last 5 years, it's been your primary residence, there should be no capital gain if the value is less than $550,000. It might be $250,000 with you now being widowed, but that's where you're going to simply have to chat with your accountant about that, okay?
Okay, so it can be just my regular accountant and not a tax attorney.
You don't have to. Your accountant's going to know that information. In fact, they'll have it pretty close in front of them because that's some of the stuff that accountants do every single day. And as a result of that, they'll know it right off the top of their head. But if you've lived in a house for two out of the last 5 years, you should be good from a capital gain standpoint, unless, again, your value goes up in a house quite a bit more. So if you paid $40,000 for that house 30 years ago and now it's worth $250,000 and you sell it, congratulations, there's no capital gains tax.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Merle. Right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. 715-845-2155 is the number to call. When you came in here this morning, you said there's a lot of things that are happening this week. And since we talked last, what are some of the other things that that you see that you wanted to touch on today?
Well, here's something that is really exciting to me, but probably nobody else, is that the Treasury yield jumped for the first time and jumped the most in 4 months. Isn't that exciting?
Tell me what that means and why it's good.
Well, essentially what happens is the Treasury yield started jumping back up because with the jobs, the new jobs created, you know, surprising, remember, we expected to have about 100,000 new jobs. We ended up having 204,000 new jobs that popped up this past year, this past month. And so with the result of that and looking back the past couple of months and seeing, you know, some surprising numbers or adjusted numbers coming back up again, the expectation would be in the marketplace is that we're going to start seeing the tapering falling off. Excuse me, tapering as far as the mortgages not being purchased by the Federal Reserve System, which is going to be inevitable and I think is already built into the marketplace as well. Now, if we look at this, it seems as though there's more building in the marketplace that the tapering is going to happen and the Federal Reserve is going to stop buying the billions of dollars of bonds that they're buying each month because it looks like interest rates are going up. Remember, it's an opposite of the value of bonds and the yield. And if we go through here, when you start to see the yield go up, it makes the value of bonds come back down. And we just saw that with treasuries. Now, what does that mean? Does everybody out there with a CD or a savings account, are you excited because you think your rate's going to go up? Well, it might go up a tenth of a percent or something, but nowhere near that's going to make it worthwhile. But what that tells me is that the market is already building in some issues with the bond marketplace. So the bond market prices are going to start continuing to come down and settling as the marketplace is building that in. What does that mean? That means eventually we're going to be able to buy some bonds from an income standpoint, and we're not buying them so overpriced. Some municipals that are still out there in the bond marketplace, you got to look hard, but you can every once in a while find one. We haven't been able to find one in a few weeks that we like, but the bond prices for municipals are coming down out there, which means good tax-free income as you buy the reinsurance for, has some guarantees, too, if you do it right.
One of the other things you mentioned was Tesla Motors, and I guess give people a little bit of background on Tesla Motors if they're not familiar with it, and why you think Tesla Motors is something that people should look at. Is it just going to be ever be more than just a fringe or a niche-type car company, or is it more than that?
Yeah, see, I don't think so. Tesla Motors, of course, is a all-electric car company. Their stock price has been just brilliant throughout the course of this year. And if you want my opinion, I think they did it right in the sense that as a company, they built this thing to go to basically the rich hippie marketplace, which, Tom, I know is you.
The hippie marketplace, possibly. The rich part of it, not so much. But.
Tesla Motors basically came out, their Model S car is a ultra, sexy,
right,
luxury, and very quick car,
a lot
and
of
it's
bucks.
All electric,
yeah.
And it's a lot of bucks. So they're building some 6,000 per year. I think they built 5,800 of them this past year. But it's a very luxury marketplace, and it just goes and screams at the celebrity who wants to be ecologically friendly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful cars. I've actually seen a few of them, and they're just gorgeous. Difficulty for us up here is the charging station, so we got to use homes to do that type of stuff. But I like the idea because if you can get that money going behind you and that momentum behind you, they have the ability to create cars that are going to be for the rest of us, and they get to have all the experiments go out and have all that stuff figured out for everybody else. Now, the charging stations, they're, of course, having the Tesla charging stations, but having the ability to bring it in a house. I like the idea because you can't have, unfortunately for our friends at Toyota and Honda, you can't have an all-electric car that looks awful because why would somebody buy that on purpose? And Tesla, I think, did it right. They made a good-looking electric car that's fantastic. We even may see Tesla come up with a good-looking car that's going to be a hybrid, which I think the hybrid's really a winner in the step over until we have enough stations that we can charge electric cars all over the place. But I like Tesla. I like what they're doing. I like the direction on them. By the way, electric cars, folks, are really cool because they're fun and they're fast. Just saying.
And you don't have to buy gas. Even though the price of gas is coming down, wouldn't it be nice to just plug it in and then not have to buy gas?
Yes. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's absolutely great.
I saw a Nissan Leaf in town the other day. I think there's one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the totally electric car that Nissan puts out. It's very small. I wouldn't use it for long trips at this point in time, but... just going around town?
Sure.
No exhaust pipes on the thing.
You know, the whole idea of having a hybrid vehicle and that whole bit for daily commutes makes a lot of sense to me, and by no means am I a guy who's going to go out there hugging trees.
No, by no means. Are you
I'm not.
Aging hippie?
But I love the idea of this because...
And I don't think don't get me wrong, I don't think you have to be an aging hippie to embrace this kind of technology. I think that eventually... And it may not be in our lifetime, but eventually the internal combustion engine is going to go the way of the dinosaur. It's just a question of when that happens.
I think the internal combustion engine becomes the backup to the other engines. You know, in case all else fails and our electric motor someplace, we're out in the Thule somewhere and our electric motor runs out of electricity because we forgot to plug it in someplace, we open up our suitcase and out pops a 350 Chevy engine. We pull the rip start and give it a fire up to charge up the batteries. Something like this.
All right.
Well, maybe not quite like that as being facetious for fun, but I like the idea of having the internal combustion engine be the backup in case there's a system that fails somewhere else. I like that idea. I like that idea in the sense that one, it's less fuel we're going to have. It makes us on a global basis more independent in our own country. At the same time, of course, it's not only better for the air and carbon emissions and all that kind of stuff, but I really like the idea. I think the internal combustion engine is going to be around because it's too efficient for us to not use them from that standpoint. But we, of course, have all the dirt and the problems and that whole bit. And for daily commuting, you think about it, Tom, I drive like a whopping, 10 miles a day. And that's why I have a big V8 engine, right?
When's the last time you went off-road with that thing?
Well, it would have been last weekend, actually.
Okay. So. All right. Well, at least you do it once in a while. Some people that own these big honking SUVs and Hummers never go off-road.
Well, I love the fact you have four-wheel drive in Florida because it makes perfectly good sense.
Right. All right. Let's take a break here. Come back with more. We have a few minutes left. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Uh-huh, okay.
Well, we were building a bonfire, and I saw some, dry brush and leaves around, so, I said to move the bonfire somewhere else, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear shows up and hugs me.
So you noticed some wildfire hazards and moved your bonfire to a safer location.
Yeah,
that's Smokey, all right. He likes it when people help prevent wildfires. It hits him close to home. Not everybody gets the hug, my friend. So that's pretty special to get a hug from Smokey Bear.
So it was him. Hey, guys, I told you it was Smokey.
Okay, well, congratulations, my friend. And thanks for calling. There are many ways to prevent a wildfire. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? Get to know Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home and avoid moving into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services provided up to 24 hours a day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. For senior home care you can trust, check out visitingangels.com. Franchise opportunities available. Visitingangels.com.
Duty, honor, country. Three words that embody the ideals and values of those who've served our nation. This Monday, we honor those who've served.
Veterans Day, it's honor the veterans.
Veterans, freedom, armed forces, military.
It's a time to celebrate our freedom because of the veterans.
Proudly honoring the spirit of our veterans. News Talk WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. Let's go right back to the phone. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Morning. This is James calling.
Hey, James. Good. You're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Hey, Merle. You were talking about the Tesla and the internal and the demise of the internal combustion engines, but I think there's always going to be a call for them. I got a dairy farm, so I get them. And you think that, how are they going to replace these powerful engines that we need in order to pull the equipment around and the semis and stuff? And if that happens, do you think that there's any investment opportunities as far as for companies that make these engines? In the last couple of years, the Tier 4 engines and stuff that have come out in Tier 4 Bs, the exhaust that comes out of those are cleaner than the air that's taken in because
sure,
of how
sure.
they have them situated. So, I like the idea with the electric engines for commuting, but I don't think that the internal combustion engine is ever going to go away because I just can't see that they're getting enough power out of the electric engine. So, what do you think about?
Dave, I was actually going to come out and I was going to throw Tom under the bus because he was the one who's ever get rid of combustion engines.
I didn't say in our lifetime. I didn't even say in the near future.
I'm just picking on you. That
when antimatter is discovered and we get warp drive.
Well, I can't wait. It'll be fantastic. Dave, there's a couple different things about this, and I agree with you. I think for commuting, I think the hybrid or the electric car is going to be perfect for our commuting going back and forth. I think that it really makes sense to do so. But sometimes you just got to get the diesel muscle in there, and I think farming is a perfect example of that. Now, that being said, if we think about it, the biggest and most powerful hybrid engines that are out there right now are our locomotives. Most people think that we have a big diesel engine that runs the drivetrain of the engine, and it doesn't. Diesel locomotives, the diesel engines run a gigantic generator and battery pack. And so those things run on actually electricity. It's the diesel that runs the engines that run the electricity. Remember, you know, inside of motors, and I'm not an engineer, I do this just because I'm kind of a geek with this stuff, is that, you know, DC-powered motors are faster and more powerful and can have a better constant force than them than gears do. Gears work out great, but gears break. Electric engines, electric magnetic type of powering systems, they don't. You just keep supplying more and more power to them. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Maybe we see that some point in time rather than our big, you know, powerful diesel engines and tractors that we need. Maybe we see more of that type of stuff going on because, Lord knows, once you get that motion and the engines of a train, it becomes enormously efficient once it gets going.
Isn't there a way to make diesel engines run quieter, though?
Why? They sound cool.
All right, let's go back.
There's not a person who's going to tell me they don't sound cool.
Good morning. Who are we talking to?
We're talking to Steve here.
Hey, Steve. Morning, Steve. You're on with Merle. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, you were talking about the stock price of a Tesla and what have you, and my question was is that seeing that it's based in California and under California state law, they have a thing where if they produce a vehicle without any emissions, they can sell the credits to the big companies, and that tax credit is kind of going away. It's kind of like a carbon credit type of a deal. And if that's going away, and they're basically undisclosed on how much money they've made off of that, a lot of their profitability is suspected has come from that. And if that goes away, well, then wouldn't you know, their profitability in the stock go away? And it's kind of like one of those things, Hinge, everything looks great for right now. And I will kind of also disagree with buying a beautiful car as a hybrid because those Priuses are ugly, and everybody seems to buy those. And you look at what it compares to a Honda, like a Civic hybrid, and you could, they don't get that much less mileage, but everybody's got to buy the Prius because they got to look. People want to see them driving that hybrid, it seems like. And as a professional driver, it just seems like they don't, how do I say this, they want to be seen, but they don't want to see everybody else.
Sure.
I'll just disagree with you on that point. So,
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Steve, I actually have kind of a funny story. I have a friend of mine who has a Prius, and I have to drive down to Chicago and pick some stuff up, and I got to tow a trailer back. And I said, hey, I want to get some gas mileage. Can I take your Prius? Well, no, that's not designed for pulling stuff. Oh, sorry. So it kind of goes back to you still have to have some big diesel muscle and that kind of stuff in there. Right. And, you know, and like Steve says, if you're going to make a car that's a hybrid or something like that, make it look good. You know, at least you can go through a Lexus standpoint, and they actually created the, you know, their Lexus hybrid sport utility vehicle. At least still looks like the sport utility vehicle. It's just that it's a hybrid. Now, I can't comment on any mileage and so forth, but they use that same synergy system they put inside of all everything else. But
all right, cool let's take one more call here. Nope. We've got time for one more if someone wants to give us a buzz, 715-845-2155.
Now, the guy who started Tesla Motors, Elon Musk, smart dude.
He's involved in space travel, too, and commercial space travel. You know, and
He and his buddy, while they were in college, created a company called PayPal and sold it for, I think it was $3.8 billion
He's just playing around now.
Yeah, so he decided, well, we're going to start SpaceX. So when everybody else is falling apart, he has SpaceX, and now they're getting contracts all over the place because they found a way to do space travel a hell of a lot faster, cheaper, and better engineering than what NASA was doing. So guess who's one of their primary customers? NASA.
All right, let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
This is Barry.
Hey, Barry, go ahead.
Morning, Barry.
Yeah, I was just listening to about to talk about the locomotives, diesel electric.
Yeah.
And one of the things they do have is a huge generator. They also, the diesel engines produce about 4,000 horsepower, sometimes even more. The efficiency comes in the fact that you're rolling steel on steel wheels on steel track.
You bet.
And the contact area is actually, for a whole train, is probably about the size of a quarter.
Yeah, pretty small, isn't it?
To think about it, yeah. And once they're rolling, they have the roller bearings and stuff and all the cars and that. They do not have, as far as I know, a battery pack in the diesel engine, but most of the newer engines now are what they call AC. They use AC generators AC motors. Yeah. The old engines used to use DC stuff, but the newer ones, they're AC. They have better starting torque and stuff like that.
How about the bullet passenger trains in other parts of the world? What are they powered with?
They're powered, bullet trains, they're electric, but they're basically like engineless. They're they're powered off the rails.
Okay. Yeah, they're using a rail engine, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Barry, the funnest time I've ever had with a rail engine is at the Aerosmith Rock and Roll roller coaster down in Disney World. If you ever want to take a ride, they've got a rail engine on, and they just basically launch you like a rocket. It's just a blast.
That's the magnetics in it, yeah. Launches you magnetically. Okay.
Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it. All right, we're just about out of time here for today. Any classes coming up that you want to talk about?
We're scheduling the classes right now. We'll probably have dates for you guys by next weekend.
Okay. And if folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
I will be on, the lovely Wausau, Wisconsin, 3rd Avenue, Bridge Street. Stop on in, grab a cup of coffee. Hopefully we get a chance to catch each other. Say hello and hi. Stop in, kick the tires, that type of stuff. Mom's always in there, so give Mom a hard time. By the way, I got blasted because I told Mom's birthday, her ages last week. And I said, well, stop giving me a hard time because I'll say I was wrong and I'll add a few years.
Mm.
So, by the way, Mom, I love you. I will not be putting you inside of a freezer if you pass away younger than before 5 years, by the way, for the estate planning stuff.
Yeah, we talked about that, didn't
we? Yep, that's right. Okay, with that then, you can find us 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street here in Wausau, Wisconsin. You can give us a call at 715-849-3600. Toll free outside of the Wausau area at 855-366. Is that it? 866-355-5100. Or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week.
We'll see you then.
That's Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates. We're coming up by 9 o'clock. The news is next. That'll be followed by the Polka Shows and Badger football this afternoon. The Badgers and Brigham Young. Pregame show at 12:30. Packer football tomorrow. Packer game day begins at 9. All right here on WSAU.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
As a referee, I pay attention for a living. While I'm busy watching the game, I need your help keeping an eye on the stands.
If you see something that doesn't look quite right, tell a law enforcement official.
We all play an important role in protecting our communities, and you can help.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids.
Fox News Ready to Go, I'm Pam Puso. Parts of the central Philippines are in ruins. A powerful typhoon roaring ashore, possibly killing 1,200 people, according to the Philippine Red Cross.
The lead that the situation is dire. There is an immediate need for communication. We do know.